welcome to the Entertainment Talk for the week of April 8th. I'm your co-host, Michael Staling. Alongside me is the lovely, talented, and ever-smiling Melissa Hansen.
Oh, that's me. No. Always smiling.
The epitome of perkiness.
Yelling and swearing and people smiling.
You're too young to be sitting on your front porch saying, "Get off my lawn!"
Yeah, I'm ahead of the game.
All right. What has your weekend entertainment been like?
I actually watched, this is not going to sound that exciting, but an old kind of independent.
Yes.
It's called Primer. It's from 2004. And it was at Sundance.
Oh.
And stuff like that. But it was filmed here in Texas.
Oh.
So the multi-hyphenate, Shane Carruth, he wrote it, directed it, and produced it, and composed the music, and edited it, and starred in it.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah, it's an interesting, you know, quite often you can do like horror kind of thing for indie because it's kind of cheap to do. But this was a science fiction and a time travel. It's about these, well, it starts out with four friends. They're like engineers and they work together and whatever, but they're doing this side thing in one of their garages and they're experimenting and creating and engineering something. And then it ends up just two of them take it, but it ends up being they accidentally invent like a time machine. And they end up using it to like make money, but then things go wrong, of course. And it's like, should we keep doing this or not doing this? And we don't know the effects and back and forth. It's pretty good. I mean, for a small film, you have to really, really pay attention and really think. There was stuff I didn't pick up on and cause I wasn't paying 100% attention.
Okay.
It's something, you got to pay attention. I'd recommend, like, honestly, not to spoil it for you, but maybe reading some stuff online so it's easier to follow.
Okay.
It was pretty good. There were a few things, and I just don't get, like, one of those things that it's little things, but to me it takes me out of the movie.
Okay.
And you have to be immersed in this to get it. So they're engineer guys, whatever. They work for a business, so they're, like, wearing button-downs and ties.
Yeah.
But first of all, they're all wearing like white button-down shirts.
Hmm.
I'm like, really? Yeah, no other color? And then, but they wear it for almost the entire movie. Now, there's scenes where they're having like a barbecue at somebody's house.
Yeah.
And the guys are wearing white button-down shirts and ties.
Hmm.
And I'm like, this is an indie thing. You let your actors wear their regular clothes. Like, no one owned jeans and a t-shirt? Really? That's the kind of thing. You give them, you know, maybe you rent their clothes, whatever. Kind of thing. Or that's part of the thing. You provide your own wardrobe.
Right.
It was little things like that that took me out. I'm just like, it doesn't make any sense. These guys hanging out on the weekend with their girlfriends and whatever are not going to be wearing the same shirt and tie that they wore all week at work.
Unless they're in a Scooby-Doo episode or something.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what it was. It was. And then towards the end, so they're wearing like a button-down and tie, like almost the same one, like the whole movie. And then all of a sudden, the two main characters are wearing sweaters.
Okay.
And they're like almost the exact same sweater. They're both like gray sweaters. One had like a little bit of a V-neck. It was like, but little things like that take you out of a movie. And you've got this like really smart script.
Yeah.
You know, and decent acting and production values were okay. There was one scene that was at night and it was by fountains and you could tell it was like his big artistic scene.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you could barely see anything. There was all this flickering and it was horrible video. And then it's fountains. You can't hear. It's one of those things like I get this is a big artistic moment.
Yeah.
But dude, it didn't work. Scrap it. It's two guys standing there talking. You could have reshot it for almost nothing.
Okay.
Except reading online, and I would like to hear the DVD commentary. I watched the streaming on Netflix.
Okay.
I'd like to hear the commentary. I guess I was reading online. They shot 80 minutes of footage, and the movie is 78 minutes long.
Huh.
Yeah, so they used everything they shot. But it's this one scene. I'm like, oh, it couldn't have cost that much more to quick go reshoot that. So anyhow, it's something different, which I always like. So I liked it because it was very different.
Right.
And the production values are okay. The acting's okay. There's nobody that's horrible or anything that's like total mess.
All right.
So really interesting. And if you like, you know, kind of sci-fi and thinking movies, it's worth checking out.
Well,
yeah. And really interesting because it was filmed, you know, 15 minutes from my house.
Yeah, no. And that's always cool because, I mean, having lived in Southern California, specifically in Santa Monica and in that, you know, West Side, you see so much in commercials and television and it kind of makes me homesick every time I see it now. You know, I'm like, hey, that's my beach.
Right.
And, hey, you know, those are my restaurants. And so,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of neat having been in LA area to watch a movie and recognize something.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So.
I haven't had a whole lot of time to either get to the theaters or catch up on much of anything, but I did catch, while late at night, while eating some late night dinner, they had a, BBC America did a special that led up to the premiere of the second half of the season of Doctor Who that was about the companions. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, they only focused on the companions since the reboot. I was hoping they'd, you know, talk about Sarah Jane and Joe and all these other, you know, companions that the doctors have had over the past 50 years. But no, it was pretty much Rose and Martha Jones. They
just
did not.
The new ones.
Just the new ones, except they didn't talk about Donna Noble at all.
Okay, Donna Noble's like the most interesting companion ever.
This is what I'm saying. And they completely skipped her. Now, I know
like,
Catherine
Tate. The other
ones
are good, but there's nothing special about Rose.
Right.
Like, she's a very typical companion.
Yes.
Donna was, like, her and the typical, like, fall in love with the doctor companion.
Yeah.
And Donna had, like, this brilliant brother-sister relationship
exactly.
with the doctor, which was very unique.
And then we don't know if she's part-time Lord at all.
Yeah, like there's so much to Donna. She's the most, I won't say best or anything, but she is the most interesting companion.
Yeah. So, A, I was pissed that they did not mention her. And B, the news came out about who was going to be in the 50th anniversary special episode. And I was hoping to God that they would find a way to include her. And they have not. So, I don't know.
Bummer, Hummer.
Yeah. So it's pretty much going to be David Tennant and Matt Smith, Billy Piper, and Jenna Louise Coleman. And we'll see what happens. I mean, trust Stephen Moffat. And we've said this time and time and time again. I saw the premiere episode. I enjoyed it. I have actually watched it twice to try and pick up on some of the subtleties. It's the first chapter in a longer story.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where, yes, they're self-contained episodes, but they're not as rewarding as it's going to be once you see how the whole thing plays out over the next 7 episodes. So, looking back at the box office this past week, I guess it's not too surprising that horror is still king when anything new comes to town, is it?
What is surprising is we've kind of dropped off. We were having, you know, 40 million openings.
Yeah.
For the big movies. Evil Dead came in first. No surprise, but only 26 million.
Now, I have heard good things about it, but I've also heard that this is a complete gore fest.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
good
you
and
like blood
gore
and guts,
to me is not the same thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Me either.
Oh, well. The Croods hanging in there.
Yeah.
Not that far below. 21 million.
Okay.
In second. And same. G.I. Joe, actually. They kind of tied. G.I. Joe Retaliation. With 21 million.
What I like about the Croods.
And then Jurassic Park.
No, I was just going to say, what I like about the Croods is traditionally, each from week to week, you lose about 50% of your box office. And the Croods did not. It dropped very little from last week to this week.
Yeah, it's really hanging out. Like I said, it's pretty darn close.
Yeah.
I'm behind the first.
Yeah.
But then after that, Jurassic Park, big 3D issue, came in fourth at 18.
People are still
million, and then Olympus Has Fallen with 10 million.
Okay.
Along with Tyler Perry's Temptation at 10 million. So we're all pretty close there.
Yeah. Surprisingly. I don't see anything on this list next week that's really going to knock it off. Scary Movie 5. If you've seen the trailer, you've seen more than enough of the movie that will keep you away. Charlie Sheen, Lindsay Lohan, Cat Williams. It's a train wreck on wheels. I don't know how they keep getting money to fund these things, but when there's so many other movies that should be made that aren't.
Exactly.
That's just me. The most interesting.
Something interesting instead of something.
Well, here's one
repetitive.
For you. 42.
Yes.
The movie 42. It's an all-star cast bringing the story of baseball's Jackie Robinson to life.
Very cool.
For writer-director Brian Hegland. Harrison Ford, Chris Maloney, Alan Tudyk, John C. McGinley, T.R. Knight, Max Gale from Barney Miller.
Oh.
and Chadwick Boseman as the legendary ball player. Now, he's done smaller things. He was on All My Children. He's done a bunch of other stuff. You may recognize his face, but this will be his big breakout role.
Very cool.
Yeah. And if you are a Terrence Malick fan, now Terrence Malick's movies are always something to chew on. You have to see him multiple times, and you have to want to think going into a movie. I know there's people who want to go and just be entertained and turn their brain off. Terrence Malick movies are not like that.
No.
So this one's called To the Wonder, and it stars Ben Affleck, Javier Bardem, Olga Kurylenko, and Rachel McAdams.
Nice.
And it's another mind-bending dramatic romance.
Sorry.
And since Melissa's going to be vacationing next week, we're just going to go and take a look at what's coming the week after, which will be Friday, April 19th. The biggest movie here, there's only two movies that are of note that week, and the biggest one is Tom Cruise's latest. And it's funny, we just talked about Olga Kurylenko, I can never say her name, in the Terrence Malick movie. Well, she's co-starring with Tom in this movie. So back-to-back big films for her. But this one, if you've seen the trailer, it's another post-apocalyptic Earth. Tom and Olga are supposedly clearing the Earth of its few remaining resources, and then they're just going to abandon the planet altogether. But then they find out that it may not be abandoned, like there's humans there after all, and Tom may not exactly be who he thinks he is. His memories may have been rewritten.
Oh, my.
So more big sci-fi action Tom Cruise stuff. And he's actually been working a lot since his divorce. Because
yeah.
Jack Reacher was out, and he's got another couple things lined up right after this. So
a little Mind Control, Tom Cruise. So now that he's done mind controlling Katie Holmes.
And sci-fi for the Scientology fans. So. All right. The other movie this week is Rob Zombie's latest, which centers on a mysterious vinyl record that surfaces in Salem, Massachusetts, that when played triggers a violent flashback in a female DJ, and all hell breaks loose after that. It's called Lords of Salem.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like my kind of thing, but it sounds like, at least, again, interesting.
Yeah, it's not a remake of a movie we've already seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Which he's been wont to do as of late. All right, if you're not going to the box office over the next 2 weeks, let's take a look and see what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray the next 2 weeks. What do we got? We got Merlin, the BBC series, the complete fifth season, which I believe, you may correct me if I'm wrong, is the last season. I know Mac's been the one
that's been following. I was going to say, we have to ask Mac.
Yeah, but he's been reviewing it for us. Hyde Park on the Hudson, which got great critical acclaim. It did not hang around in the theaters very long. It's Bill Murray as FDR, which is quite an interesting...
Yeah, very interesting casting there.
Laura Linney, who I cannot stand, but that's just me.
Yeah, she's not a favorite of mine either.
No. But people love her, so who am I to question it? We've got season 2, which I believe also is the last season of Kelsey Grammer's Boss, which is the Chicago.
Yeah, that didn't last for long. It got good reviews and everything. I thought it was going to make it. It did not.
Yeah.
To Lost for Chicago, because it was filming there.
It is, and we had a lot of friends and colleagues who got some work out of that, too. So I kept watching Facebook and seeing, hey, my episode's on tonight. Gate of Hell, which is another Criterion collection, another fantastic epic, which if you are a fan of Criterion, you're going to want to check these out. I've been slowly going back because Hulu had a whole bunch of Criterion listed, so I've been going back through some of the Kurosawa stuff and trying to fill the holes in my own cinematic backlog. You know, you can't be a film critic without having seen some of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
But this is another...
That's why I only review exercise DVDs. I'm not a film critic.
You are so funny. And this one I have never heard of, but it's called Late Bloomers, starring William Hurt, Isabella Rossellini, and Joanna Lumley.
Yeah, I thought there was an interesting cast
what
on that
cast.
One.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, for Tuesday, April 16th, big stuff. Django Unchained. If you have not seen this movie, you need to see it. I'm not recommending a purchase for everybody, but this is a definite must-see for Quentin Tarantino fans, for fans of Christoph Waltz, who has got to be one of the finest actors working today.
Oh, absolutely.
And the cameos in this are phenomenal, and just it's a movie you have to see, if that's all I'll say. More Criterion, Repo Man, Emilio Estevez, cult classic,
Yeah, how cool is that, that Criterion went and did it?
I know. They've done this every once in a while. They'll do, like they did Monty Python's Life of Brian. They'll pull out...
Yeah, they'll do some kind of not big cinematic classic.
Right.
But cult classic.
Right. And Harry Dean Stanton, right? Cool. The dad from Pretty in Pink, you know?
Yeah.
Who people saw in The Avengers as the security guard with this beautiful scene with Mark Ruffalo after he, you know, the Hulk crashes into this
Harry
building.
Dean Stanton.
Unbelievable.
He's so great.
We've got an animated movie called A Monster in Paris, which Eric just reviewed on Filibuster this past week. And he liked
it. Eric Aschbachschlager.
Yes. Yes, poor Eric.
I have to say his name that way because it's just so much fun.
Well, and he's been suffering from a terrible... He, like, blew out his eardrum. Like,
yeah,
it burst
Eric.
On him. Ugh, terrible.
Yeah, hard to listen to movies that way.
I know. A Haunting in Connecticut. 2. I hate this stuff. You know, it's enough to have a...
2.
It's enough to have a
small
little...
of that crap wasn't enough.
God. But see, they make money, and that's why people do this. That's why Disney went and made The Hunchback of Notre Dame 2 and Mulan 2, and it's just...
Yeah, it doesn't matter the genre. It made money. Make another one. Make the same damn thing all over again.
Terrible. Why these things keep...
Like, even The Hangover. Like, let's make the same damn movie. We'll just put it in a different city.
Well, I saw the trailer, and they're back in Vegas again for the third one.
Wake up, Alt.
Uh-huh. So you have Zach Galifianakis standing there going, wow, I have such fond memories of this place. All right. Screw DVD and Blu-ray. Let's look and see what's coming to streaming these next couple weeks. Over at Netflix... 80s Palooza, right? We've got 48 Hours with Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy. Classic 80s comedy. Overboard, romantic comedy. Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Yeah, it's a cute one.
It is cute. It played on like HBO forever, you know.
Yeah.
I think where I saw it 5 or 6 times. Stephen King's Pet Sematary.
Oh.
Not one of his greatest adaptations, you know, not Christine creepy as hell.
Yeah, completely.
And Fred Gwynn was in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Herman Munster.
Yeah.
And then here's one I have not heard of. Streets of Fire with Michael Paré, who was in Eddie and the Cruisers, and Diane Lane.
No, that's a big one. How have you not heard that? How have I heard that one? You haven't.
Now, did we mention that she and Josh are getting divorced?
I don't know if we did that in a news segment.
I don't think we
did. It's not surprising, though. You know, like, what, 3 years after he was arrested for beating her?
Right.
They're getting divorced.
Right.
All right.
Now I'm trying. Let me digress for a moment. When we saw him do his Q&A, did he speak highly of her? I do not remember of their relationship if he spoke much about it.
No, not much. But it seemed to me like it was an interesting pairing when they got together. But like it would work
because
they're movie stars who aren't movie stars.
Right.
So anyhow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. The week after, if you're still looking for stuff for Netflix, we've got more 90s types of things. Harrison Ford in Clear and Present Danger as Jack Ryan. And did I hear, was Jeremy Renner the new Jack Ryan? Is that correct? Or is there somebody else?
Oh, I can't remember.
I don't either. I'll have to look that up at some point.
I don't know, but his baby mama just had his kid.
Oh, that's right. Now.
You think I know who's cast and stuff? I want to know who's knocked up.
Well,
that's what I care about.
But here's another interesting story, because he has had a quote-unquote roommate for a very long time. A roommate, a business partner, a boyfriend, whatever you want to call that. And in Hollywood, let's face it, for as open as most people are becoming in the rest of the world, Hollywood is still, you cannot be an A-list male movie star if you are gay or bisexual, because people are not going to see you.
This is really interesting. Snoop Dogg or whatever animal he's going by now.
Yeah.
I don't know if TMZ caught him. TMZ had this story that he was talking about rap artists and being gay.
Okay.
And saying like, well, Frank Ocean, he's like, you know what? Frank Ocean's a singer. He's not a rapper.
Oh.
And he said, you cannot be gay and be a rapper. And it's not his personal opinion.
Yeah.
It's like how the business works that. Like, it's not going to happen. You're not going to have a huge rapper who's gay.
Right.
We're not ready for that yet, kind of thing.
Now, you can have a Neil Patrick Harris because he's a character actor and a very beloved.
Absolutely.
We grew up with him as a kid. But you cannot have a Tom Cruise or a Brad Pitt or now, you know, the next generation being a Jeremy Renner come out and be openly gay. mm-hmm. and yet still play the action hero. So it's right. interesting now that he has a girlfriend who is, you know, who's had a child. Well,
and here's the thing. It's, yeah, that has. And it's not. It's like a one-night stand. It was some casual fling. And she got pregnant. And
so then you wonder if this whole thing has been manufactured just to keep the, you know, the scent off of the fact that he has a partner.
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know. And why should we care, right? It's none of our business.
Exactly. It's not. But it's interesting how culture changes. And you know, how many years from now, you can have an action star who's gay, and right. we'll all be fine with it.
That,
and it won't matter.
We get to that point. Because it doesn't matter.
It's just, yeah.
If anything, you should be more impressed because actors are doing their job and making you believe that they are the person they're supposed to be portraying. You're not thinking about who they are off screen.
Right.
They're creating a character that you believe 100%. That you can go on this journey. And that's the great thing about like a Gary Oldman who can reinvent himself from every single role. And you don't think of him as Dracula or Commissioner Gordon.
Right.
Or
that half
Sid
the time,
Vicious or, you know.
When I see him in a movie, I sit there for 10 minutes going, who is that?
Right.
I know that actor. And then I'm like, oh, duh.
It used to bother me in theater when I would be around people and they would come up to some of my friends who were, we did a show together and they would say, oh, I loved you in that show. And who are you? Well, I was co-starring with him in that show. And that used to bother me. But then I started saying, you know what? That's a good thing. Because if they don't recognize me, then I'm okay with that.
Because then you were the character.
Then I did my job.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. But I digress. A couple other things on this list here. Devil's Own, another Harrison Ford, Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah. The Irishy one, right?
Yes. Boston, right? They were cops. And he was a
It was a whole
IRA.
Like Irish mob and whatever stuff. Yeah.
Now, trying
to good thriller.
Trying to believe that Brad Pitt grew up in Ireland. Yeah, a bit of a stretch there. But in any case. The remake of Shaft. A movie that probably should have never been remade, but with Sam Jackson in the lead. You know, you got to give him a pass. And it was a decent movie. It wasn't Richard Roundtree, but it was still Sam Jackson.
But no one is. Come on.
And then here's a documentary that I have not seen. It's called Bond Girls Are Forever, and it's just been released to Netflix, and it looks back at all the different Bond girls.
Very cool.
Yeah. So
is M in it? That's all I want to know. She's my favorite Bond girl.
The Judi Dench.
Judi Dench.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. Over at Hulu, the next couple of weeks, we've got here's one that I haven't heard, another one. A Few Days in September, John Turturro, Nick Nolte, and Juliette Binoche. In a 9/11
thriller. I didn't see it, but I remember that one.
Okay. I'm so sick of the 9/11 stuff. It just seems like we get hit over the head with it. I don't know if you'll remember this one. It's a movie called Starstruck, starring Kirk Cameron. It's a 1994 boy meets girl again against all odds kind of thing.
I missed that one.
One of his first film roles.
I watched the Dudley Moore Switch Body was one,
but I think
it was out of Kirk Cameron's by this. So.
That was the Freaky Friday with the boys instead of the girls.
Yeah.
And then there is an overwhelming amount of odd Japanese cinema. You take one look at these movie posters and you're like, what is going on? My Scary Girl, which is a horror romance of a woman murdering, you know, meat on a thing, and she's got her boyfriend or her husband locked up in a closet all tied up like she's going to do him next.
Okay.
And then there's another one called Peppermint Candy, which has this aging
I want to know what the actual titles are, if they changed it or just did this sounds like direct translation. These are great.
So there's this guy screaming. You know, he says this picture of this guy screaming, but the story is you're living 20 years of a dead man's life in reverse to see how he died.
Okay. Interesting.
There is a ton of stuff out there for people to, and I page through stuff late at night just to see if there's something I want to watch, and there isn't. But one of these days, I'm going to click on some of the stuff and see what it is.
Okay, you let me know how that goes.
All right, I will. and then we'll do some vintage stuff. So we've got The Story on Page One, which is a 1959 thriller starring Rita Hayworth and Gig Young. The tagline on this, did their relationship have to lead to murder? Dun, dun, dun.
It had to. It just had to.
Heaven with a Barbed Wire Fence. a 1939 drama about Glenn Ford and Gene Rogers. He's in New York City. He gets in trouble in New York City and wants to start a new life in the rural Southwest, which, of course, back in the 30s was, yeah.
Don't we all?
Of course. Well, you have. Middle West.
Except
middle
very rural.
South, middle South. And then here's one. Here's one for the Daryl Loomises of the world. The Playgirls and the Vampire. Five innocent girls seek refuge in an abandoned European castle. Dun, dun, dun. And they meet the living dead.
That never turns out well. Let me tell you.
I mean, it's like some 1960s, you know, erotic.
All right.
So that's what I've got for streaming over the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, TV the next couple of weeks. I'll go through this quick. So pay attention. March Madness, well, April Madness is finally over Monday. This stupid, dumb NCAA final is Monday night on CBS. And the Burning Love finale is on E! On Monday. On Tuesday, Ready for Love, a new dating show.
Oh, no.
But the bachelor is Tim Lopez from the Plain White Tees.
No way.
Because rock stars have such a hard time finding girlfriends.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. That's on NBC if you care. And Cougar Town season finale, and it has been picked up, but that's on TBS.
Oh.
Thursday, Go On season finale on NBC. Saturday, I read this like three times and I double checked to make sure this wasn't like a joke.
Yeah.
Bet on Your Baby.
What?
On ABC. It's a new game show. Ready? This is like from the network site.
Oh, I'm afraid.
Parents guess how many toys their toddlers will clean up in 1 minute, how many cookies a child can stack, and which snacks they will choose to eat.
Holy crap.
We have reached rock bottom. I keep thinking we've already reached it, and then we go farther.
So
this has to be the bottom. This has to be rock bottom.
No, because you know what I picture coming next? Is you're going to have babies thrown off diving boards. So you're going to combine that celebrity splash thing with babies. So you bet on your babies being, if they'll survive when they're thrown off the diving
board. Ay, ay, ay. Anyhow, well, if you're still, you know, breathing after watching that. Sunday, MTV Movie Awards.
Oh, I forgot.
With Channing Tatum and Rebel Wilson. Come on.
Huh.
I might even want to tune in for that. And then Showtime has some premieres with Nurse Jackie.
Okay.
Is on, and The Borgias.
Yeah.
And then Monday next week, the 15th, Oh Sit on CW, another new competition show. As 12 daredevils compete, they tackle new obstacles that include bridges, water rounds, and slick zones. All right, then. Tuesday the 16th, Storage Wars is back on A&E.
Okay.
And Wednesday the 17th, Suburgatory season finale on ABC. This week in music, we've got a bunch of country. Brad Paisley has a new one called Wheelhouse. And then Trisha Yearwood and Vince Gill have new-ish, in a way, records. They're new records. They're called Ballads, and it's a collection of their hit ballads. That's coming out. And then we have Duets from Paul Anka.
What?
He's like a little late to that bandwagon.
No doubt.
But all right, then. So, and a new album called Accept Sometimes by Molly Ringwald.
What?
Seriously. Well, she did singing. If you remember, when she was a kid, one of her big breaks, she didn't star in it, but she did Annie.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So she's been a singer. I mean, she's been an actor and singer since she was a kid. We just don't think of her singing that much. But she has an album out. And then Todd Rundgren has a new album called State.
Huh.
And a little classic opera for all you classy people out there. Wagner at the Met. Legendary performance. This is like a 25 CD box set.
Holy crap.
Huge, massive. Very cool. And then the new movie, The Place Beyond the Pines. Mike Patton does the music for that soundtrack there.
Okay.
Next week, we have Mosquito by the Yeahs.
Yeah.
And Save Rock and Roll, Fall Out Boy.
Oh, my God. I forgot about those guys.
Yeah. So they got a new one. And then guess who else has a new one?
Ooh.
Mr. Willie Nelson.
Shut up.
Let's Face the Music and Dance. He's 80.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
And The Terror by The Flaming Lips is coming out next week.
Wait, those guys have been gone for a while, too.
Yeah. And Sarah Brightman, another end of the spectrum there, with Dream Chaser.
The former Mrs. Andrew Lloyd Webber. Were they married or were they just boyfriend and girlfriend?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't know. They were together for quite a while. And then he like kind of screwed her over and kind of messed up her career because she was doing all his stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyhow. All right. Well, speaking of Paul Anka, not only has his album out, this week he has a new book out, his autobiography called My Way. Mm. And he dishes the dirt on the Rat Pack, baby.
Ooh.
So if you are a fan of, you know, like Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. and stuff, you may want to check this out and get some good stories.
Frank is coming back from the grave to haunt somebody.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then this is so interesting. Mary Williams has a new book called The Lost Daughter, a memoir. Mary Williams was growing up in the 70s, like things were a mess in her life. She ended up going to a camp run by Tom Hayden and Jane Fonda. And I don't know if they legally adopted her, but Jane Fonda took her in and she ended up living and being raised by Jane Fonda. Like, who knew this?
Yeah.
Anyhow, she's had like an amazing life since then. She's been all over the world. So very cool memoir from her coming out. Huh. And then we have a whole bunch of cooking stuff. And I promised myself I was going to go try to watch an episode of Chopped so I could say her last name.
People are talking about this show. I have no idea what it is.
Oh, Chopped?
Yeah.
It's Ted from Queer Eye hosts it.
Oh.
And it's, you have like four contestants, actual chefs. This isn't like for you and me to go do. It's actual real chefs.
All right.
And then they have their judges, other famous chefs, and they get this basket of ingredients. So the first one they have half an hour to make like an appetizer. And they get a basket of ingredients and they have to use these ingredients.
All right.
And sometimes you will get like olives and Twinkies, you know, and
gross
or something. It's usually not that crazy, but there is some weird stuff there and you have to make it. And then you have like all this, you know, you have a refrigerator and a pantry full of other things to use. And then one of them gets chopped. So the judges pick one person to go home and then whoever's left have to make a, you know, main course and then somebody gets chopped and then you have to make a dessert. Anyhow, people who watch that will know Judge Alex. She has a cookbook coming out, Old School Comfort Food, The Way I Learned to Cook. And then Curtis Stone, who's one of my favorites because he's kind of cute, What's for Dinner, Delicious Recipes for a Busy Life. And Mr. Gordon Ramsay, Chef Gordon Ramsay, has one, Gordon Ramsay's Home Cooking.
Oh, okay.
So if you are hungry, this is your week to try some new recipes.
And you know what? The funny thing about him is he has this persona that he has on his shows, this very, you know, loud, boisterous, controlling.
Dickish.
Yes. But in real life, when you see interviews with him, he is one of the funniest, most down-to-earth people you will ever meet.
And see, this is the thing. He's down-to-earth.
Yeah.
And that's why he comes across so dickish. When he is trying to save somebody's business, and quite usually, like, literally their life and family.
Yeah.
And they won't listen to him, he gets pissed.
Yeah.
Well, of course he does. Like, he knows what he's doing. And if you're, you know, being an ass to him, he's going to tell you you're being an ass.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, next week in books, Nora Roberts has a new one called Whiskey Beach. And a whole bunch of her stuff is also being released in ebook next week. Kat Von D, we all know from LA Inc. Go Big or Go Home, Taking Risks in Life, Love, and Tattooing. In tattooing. Well, can I just say you're putting ink on somebody else's body. It's really not that much of a risk for you now, is it?
Yeah.
Anyhow, bless my achy, breaky heart. Billy Ray Cyrus has a new book called Hillbilly Heart coming out. So maybe there'll be some good gossip on Miley in that one.
I doubt it.
And Baron Baptiste, who's a famous yoga instructor.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of an ego trip guy. Yeah. Well,
they all kind of are, to be honest with you.
I don't know.
Anyhow, Being of Power, the 9 practices to ignite an empowered life. And then fans of Les Mis, if you still can't get enough of that and you've worn out your DVD. Les Miserables, From Stage to Screen, by Martin Palmer. So you guys can check that out and get the whole behind-the-scenes scoop.
All right.
So, theater, yes. We have some famous people coming to the stage. Orlando Bloom.
Oh, yes.
I'll be starring in Romeo and Juliet.
Which, okay.
Yeah, how interesting is that? It's his, will be his Broadway debut.
And he's no spring chicken.
That is the thing. So, it's going to be this fall.
Yeah.
At the Richard Rodgers Theater. But yeah, I mean, then the play, you can like fudge it a little bit, but he's 36.
Yeah.
And Romeo and Juliet are teenagers.
Right. And we just finished a production of Romeo and Juliet in which they were 15 and 17 in real life.
Yeah. And it's, Romeo's not necessarily stated, but Juliet's like 13 and Romeo can't be that much bigger. So I think it's good casting. I think he'll do a good job.
Yeah.
But then again, do you really want like a 13-year-old playing this nowadays? I don't know.
Yeah. It does get a little creepy at some points. But.
Yeah. But also heading to Broadway will be Daniel Craig and his wife, Rachel Weisz.
Ooh.
They are going to be starring, it's this fall again. It's going to be at the Barrymore Theater, directed by Mike Nichols, but it's Harold Pinter's Betrayal. So if you want to see movie stars live and in person, you are going to want to head to New York this fall.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So, saddest news in a long, long time.
Yeah. And it really caught me off guard. In fact, you were the one that alerted me to it because earlier last week, it was reported that Roger Ebert had broken his hip and found that in the process of going through the emergency situation with him, they discovered more cancer in his body. And he had already had bone cancer in his jaw, which had been removed, and he had been through a number of surgeries. And the amazing thing about this whole story is through each step of this, he has been nothing but optimistic,
right.
At least from his outgoing persona. I'm sure there have been personal challenges. His wife, Chaz, has been with him every single step of the way, and the two of them have just been phenomenal in terms of we complain about our lives all the time and the stupid little things that drive us crazy. But here's a man whose body is literally being taken from him one piece at a time, much like Ron Santo of the Cubs, who had diabetes and his foot is gone, his leg is gone. And yet they would still be out there and be positive and giving off these amazing vibes and doing what they love to do, regardless of what was going on. So here Roger, who could no longer speak and could no longer host his show, had other people doing his show, but he continued to write and blog and talk about movies and give interviews and even had that digital voice thing that he would use to translate his words. But sadly, he was taken from us at 70 years old and his body just could not take it anymore.
Yeah, and Chaz, his wife, wrote about it afterwards and they were literally getting ready to take him home for hospice. And he looked at them and smiled and was gone.
Really?
Yeah. It was, I mean, they knew the end was coming, but like he just went like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So thank goodness it was not more pain and suffering for him.
Well, and the juxtaposition with his partner, Gene Siskel, who having fought and lost a battle with brain cancer 15 years before.
Yeah.
And that came as a shock as well. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like all the pictures and tributes that we've seen, you know, the two of them together up watching movies in some afterlife somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can tell what kind of friends I have.
Yeah.
Because I was out running errands or something. I came home, opened Facebook and Twitter, and my whole Facebook and Twitter feeds were just about Roger Ebert.
Yeah. Well, with the two of us having grown up in Chicago and watched their show, I mean, I can personally say that it was a staple in my house. I mean, my parents had it on every – I think at that point when we were kids, it was Friday night. On Channel 11.
But it was just a Chicago thing.
It was a Chicago thing.
PBS show before it went nationwide.
Yep.
Yeah, we had lots of extra time with them that people from other places
and
didn't have.
And when I was transitioning my career back in 2002, I reached out to Roger, and he got back to me, and we conversed over email for a while, but it was an incredibly encouraging conversation. And he was that type of guy, you know, and I know from other people, too, who have talked to him, either in person, in email, on the phone, whatever, that he was nothing but positive and giving of himself.
Yeah.
So this isn't a whitewash of somebody. This is who this man was.
Right, right.
And he will be missed. So it's up to the next generation of film critics to live up to the mantle that he has already established. Another weird death. You know, I hate reality TV with a passion, but you hate to see anything happen to somebody, especially like a 21-year-old. So we have Shane Gandy, who is this breakout star, and I had never seen the show, of MTV's Buck Wild. Which is, I don't want to say rednecky, but, you know, I guess.
I'll say it. Rednecks.
And
Southern rednecks.
Yeah. And, again, MTV doesn't do anything music-related. They have all these reality shows. But he was on the verge. This was going to become the next Jersey Shore, right? This is how hot this show was. And they were in the middle of filming season two when he and I think it was his uncle and a friend were mudding or off-roading and met with a tragic end.
Yeah, it seems they got stuck.
Yeah.
Their truck sunk in the mud, covered the tailpipe, and they died from carbon monoxide poisoning. Okay. I mean, I don't think that's official yet, but that's what it seems like.
Yeah. So MTV immediately ceased production. They called in grief counselors, and they're dealing with the fallout of this. And now they'll have to find some other reality show to make that money off of.
Well, the good thing, I mean, you bitch about it. The nice thing is MTV is paying for his funeral.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Because the family doesn't have money.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
All right. So, two deaths, two births, or impending births. Halle Berry is pregnant.
Okay.
With her boyfriend, Olivier
Martinez.
And
she's like 46 or something like that.
Yeah, she is not young either. And we've seen this happen before. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't unusual for women in their 40s now to be having children. But it's always, you always run a risk. You know, but she has had such a problem with her ex, Gabriel Aubrey, and their daughter together. And now that, you know, the two of them, she and Olivia, are having a baby, it's just this yours, mine, and ours thing always gets a little complicated.
Yeah.
And Heather Morris, who plays a teenager on Glee, is pregnant and with her boyfriend. And she's a dancer. I mean, so this is going to screw up her career for a while, but congratulations.
Yeah, so we'll see what they end up doing with it, because they should be close to done filming. She's starting to show now, but they can probably cover that for a couple more weeks of filming left. And then her character is supposed to graduate, so we'll see.
Well, let's hope Fox just goes and pulls
we'll
the plug
on
this
show. We'll see if he's even on much longer, because it's
youth and
crap
us, the
now.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, two very quick notes of things that are coming up. Twilight's Kellan Lutz is your new Hercules for director Renny Harlin.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I know.
Renny Harlin's still working? Damn. I forgot all about him.
Yep. And here's the other thing. The teaser for Showtime's Dexter Season 8 shows no new footage, but contains a Michael C. Hall voiceover in which he warns that Dexter fears he's losing control of his dark passenger. So,
Dexter always fears he's losing control of his dark passenger.
Well, I mean, but I think that they're playing this up because this is rumored to be the last season. So,
Yeah, it is. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah.
If he gets in big trouble or how they end it.
Yeah. All right. That's all I've got. I'm sure you've got some Kardashian stuff.
Yeah, I've got some other train wreck news first, if you want.
Oh, go for it.
Too. All thanks to my internet bestie, who we are not going to call Deep Throat.
Okay.
We are going to go with the human algorithm. So thanks to him, I have a couple news articles. So Justin Bieber, big all over the world.
Oh, jeez.
You know, one of the biggest music stars, whether he's respected or not, but still. Really big in Norway. Schools in Norway have switched their final exams.
What?
Because they were going to be the same week that Justin Bieber's going to be there.
Oh,
so they delayed their test by like a week.
It's so that it wouldn't affect the grades of the children who are attending the concerts.
Right. Right. Hello.
All right, so let's flash forward 10 or 15 years. What's Justin Bieber going to be? Is he going to be the next Vanilla Ice? Is he going to be on a reality show saying, remember?
See, when? I didn't think so. I thought he'd keep it together and he'd kind of grow and mature. It may not be like the big superstar he is, but I thought he could stay in this business and keep working forever. Yeah. You know, we'd kind of grow with him and stuff, but I don't know now. He's being such a little brat.
Yeah.
If he gets his act together, then I think he can... you know, have a respectable career for as long as he wants it. If he keeps hanging out with douchebags, then it's all going to fall apart.
Only time will tell.
Anyhow. All right. Well, the other story.
Yes.
According to The Superficial, Jada Pinkett admitted that she and Will Smith have an open marriage.
See, now this is another story that's been talked about because he is another one that is supposedly has a boyfriend for a very long time. And then they travel together, and they're photographed together, and it's not, you know, this is one of Hollywood's worst-kept secrets, like John Travolta. Maybe this is just her way of kind of diffusing that by saying, stop talking about it, because I'm going to give you some stuff. But then she's rumored to have her share of girlfriends as well.
So who knows what is on with that?
I know.
But, and it's none of our business, except they, you know, talk about it, so... Oh, well, either way, Kardashian news, depending on who you believe and which photo you look at, it must just be the way she's dressed in her new body.
Yeah.
Because I look at some photos of Kim and she looks enormous and magazines are putting out there how she's 200 pounds now and that she's lying. She's only gained 20 pounds, blah, blah, blah.
Well, she's a big girl to begin with. She's not a little skinny thing.
No, she's not a little skinny thing, but she also isn't trying. I mean, she's got a butt on her.
Yeah.
But she was never big all over either.
Yeah, which is funny because her mother is skinny. You know, her mom doesn't have.
Yeah.
And her dad was skinny too.
Yeah. I don't know where the girls got it from. Yeah. But anyhow, she just tweeted pictures of herself in like a little t-shirt and leggings so you can see her belly bump. Yeah. She does not look that big at all.
Oh, was this to diffuse the rumors that there actually, you know, that there is no baby in there, that they were using the... prosthetic.
Oh, I don't. Well, it would do that, but it also just to show off she hasn't gained like, you know, 50 pounds either.
Okay. Right.
I don't know. But she, her, I thought her other style was horrible, but her maternity style is just even worse. But anyhow, so she, you can see her in like a million magazines looking fat, or you can see on her Twitter thing looking just, you know, belly bump.
Yeah, and I'm sure she has 6 pounds of makeup on, so you can never, you know, tell what her real face looks like, but.
That's true.
All right. And on that baby bombshell, we will wrap up this supersized double episode. But we will be gone next week, so you can maybe save half of this one and listen to it while we're away. But then we'll be back the following week. So in the meantime, feel free to check out all the reviews at DVDverdict.com.
Well, our contest this week you can check out too.
Yes.
It's called Once I Was a Champion. It's about MMA fighter Evan Tanner.
Oh, well.
So if you are into guys kicking other guys' asses, you can enter our contest.
There you go. Do we have another contest lined up for the week after that?
Of course we do. it's actually a twofer.
Yep.
At the Gate of the Ghost and the Sorcerer and the White Snake.
Ooh, both of which are probably going to wind up in the
hands.
Yes,
that'll be the week of the 15th.
Okay. So,
all right.
Until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
They won't get out alive. Your ass. Grab it and kiss it goodbye.